All right, welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we broadcast live. One of my favorite spots here in town, great Kansas City company, ticketsforless.com. Listen, what a great business. And I'll tell you what, that's how Dan got this business started. Was he loves going to events, loves going to concerts, games, and said, listen, there's got to be a better way to get good seats, great seats, or just get into the door to that show or that game that you can't miss. Listen, if you're Daddy Warbucks and you want the best seats in the world to any event, Tickets for Less will get you covered. But maybe you don't have all the money under the earth. If you just want to get into that sold-out event, Tickets for Less has those tickets as well. The special we've got during the broadcast today, $99 club-level tickets for the Chiefs and Jaguars. I'm going to tell you something. Like, this game in New York, it costs you like $500-$600. In the Dallas Cowboys, it costs you $1,500. You can get it right now for $99 here at Tickets for Less, 913-685-3322. That price is only good until 2 o'clock. And Chiefs and Texans, the debut of Patrick Mahomes, only $50 for the club level and VIP tailgate 10 passes from ticketsforless.com. You get them right now. It's good only during the remote, and it's online or over the phone on that one. Only on the phone for Chiefs and Jags. 913-685-3322. Phone number works for the Chiefs and Texans. Online works for the Chiefs and Texans as well. Go to ticketsforless.com. Let's talk some college football. Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports is with us on our Sprint guest line. Ben, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How shocked were you? Let's start. I know you've written several pieces on this Urban Meyer subject. How shocked were you when this story broke, or was this something that was kind of percolating longer than maybe we knew and before it became such a big issue?
I think I was more shocked that when Urban Meyer spoke at Big Ten Media Days and he's asked about Zach Smith and says, you know, I was aware of this incident in 2009 when we were at Florida, and my wife Shelley and I intervened and got very involved in this and really worked on counseling them. But I don't know about this 2015 situation. Like, those two sentences back to back were alarming. And he was asked about it at Media Days to you know, great extent, but it almost felt like those quotes were like taken at face value. And if Brett McMurphy hadn't gone and done the legwork for this, if he hadn't gone and done the shoe leather work, I don't know that this story would be where it is right now. Because I'll be honest, no one on the Ohio State beat really went with it. And so McMurphy went and did the job. And so the only thing that really surprised me was the fact that it took as long as it did to get anywhere. Because you're talking about Urban Meyer, who next to Nick Saban is probably number two in the country as far as being top-tier coaches, at a place like Ohio State, which is a blue blood. So this is forming into the biggest college football story of the year, and it took a minute to really get going, and that part to me was extremely odd.
Is this, and I've heard a lot of writers like yourself and reporters in general, not just the print community, but just reporters in general, talk about and champion what Brett McMurphy did on this story. Is this not the best example we've got of how the media is kind of evolving, and so much of the media is a rah-rah homer approach? Like you mentioned, none of the Ohio State folks were on this. It took somebody nationally that wasn't invested in all the revenue, all the excitement, all the energy, all the eyeballs on whatever you write or put on television or talk about Buckeye football. Nobody wants that train to come off the tracks in Columbus, Ohio, or the entire state of Ohio, for that matter. It needs somebody who's got actual journalist approach to write this story, and we have fewer and fewer of those types of people today.
We do, and that's a whole other segment that you and I could get into, right? So, look, like sometimes I'll do original work. I'll write a feature on a guy. I did one for Baker Mayfield last year. And you know what? The point of that, and even though Baker Mayfield is a divisive guy, but the point of that is to tell you about a side of him that maybe you don't know about. And so part of that, yeah, is a positive spin. And not everyone's going to be jiving with that, and that's okay. So part of that is, you write what is going to get you the access. You don't necessarily want to fluff it, but you want to, you know, you want to tell an untold side of the story, and sometimes those tend to be a little bit more positive. So there's that part of it. There's that part of the access in the media and things like that. But then there's the part where you got to do your job. And when there is a story like this, you've got to search for the truth, or at least get that ball rolling to search for the truth. And a lot of times, the answers that you uncover, no one's going to like. And that's your job, too. So there are different facets to what your job entails. But this was an example where, you know, Brett McMurphy, he had to write the post on Facebook because he still, you know, that's where he was with ESPN, who was radio silent on this for most of that Wednesday. But, you know, that's him doing his job because that's part of what it entails. And the thing with access is, you know, so many programs now have in-house journalists who tell the story how they want it to be told. And, you know, you can decline access to other people. Part of it is there's such a mass media now where really who should have access? It should probably be a fourth or a third of the size. And then conversely, I think it's up to the schools to do a better job of providing access regardless to the ones that they do allow. So it's kind of a tangled mess. And again, it's a whole other topic that's
right.
More than one radio segment.
Tell me this, 14 days, Ohio State, that's one of the latest reports that they're going to have this thing wrapped up in about 14 days. Is there anything you take away from that? Does that give you an idea that Urban Meyer is going to be the coach, not going to be the coach? What do you take from that statement?
Well, my sort of personal opinion on whether Meyer would be the coach or not has changed so many times in the past week. I don't know that I can give you a definitive answer on that. I will say I think it's interesting that they go ahead and lay out a timeline for this. To me, what that indicates is they know there's a finite number of people that they need to talk to. It's obviously going to be Urban Meyer. It's going to be Shelly Meyer. It's going to be the Ohio State coaching staff. It's probably going to extend to their immediate family, namely their wives. It's going to be Gene Smith. So you probably have two dozen people that you want to talk to. And I'm not saying that isn't a lot. But that's you have a working group whose responsibility is to get to the bottom of this. You're going to move through that pretty quickly. And you don't really want this to linger into the season because this is already a big enough distraction. If Ohio State feels like Urban Meyer is exonerated from this, they want to be able to get him back on the sideline. So I tend to think a finite timeline for this means Urban Meyer will coach, but you know, that's me today, Monday at 11:30 a.m.
And that's how I read it as well. And is this as simple as, well, he was not honest at Big Ten Media Days, because I think a lot
right.
of coaches think they can say whatever they want. I mean, they really are so unbelievably powerful on a college campus and within a team. We know they can, you know, kind of bend rules all over the place. They don't really worry about, you know, there's no College Football Players Association to limit the amount of contact and all that kind of stuff. They become almost godlike. So, yeah, an error in judgment and certainly then trying to shame McMurphy for asking what was clearly a relevant question at the time is ridiculous, and he looks like a fool. But being a fool doesn't necessarily mean you should be fired. He says he reported the protocol. He did follow the protocol and reported to his superiors the information he had. Is this as open and shut as that? If he did that, he's still the coach. If he didn't, he's not.
More or less, he has. So Ohio State's policy, and people have asked, by the way, people have asked extensively about Title IX. Where does that come into this? Does it affect Urban Meyer? Would it affect Shelly Meyer, who's also an employee of the university? And there's been kind of conflicting narratives on this. I think really what people need to know in the end is, Title IX or not, the university has a policy in place where people who have power, people who are in charge, which obviously Urban Meyer would fall under that category, have an obligation to report when they hear these things within about 5 business days. And if they find out that he did that, then I think it would be very difficult to terminate him, at least with cause. You could always terminate him without cause, but I think that would be in the neighborhood of $39 to $40 million that they would owe him. And I don't know that they'd be willing to shell that out over what would then be an ethics debate. So I think that's going to be the crux of maybe not so much when he knew, but then what did he do when, you know, when he found out. I obviously think he knew 2.5, almost 3 years ago, because Zach Smith even said on SportsCenter, yeah, you know, we talked about it. And he said, if I find out that you hit your wife, that's it, you're gone. So certainly Urban Meyer knew, but if he properly reported it, like he says he did, then I think he'll be the coach and probably take a PR shot to the face. But I think that might be about it.
Yeah, the people that say, well, you know, I mean, it's not his actions. How can he be responsible? It's the whole institutional control, right? And I mean, it's lack of institutional control. That's where that came from. Like, if you don't know, you're supposed to know. And if you did know, you didn't act on it. That's where that part of the equation comes in. Why he would be responsible, why this would land on his desk, is he's supposed to act. Are we not talking enough about the athletic director being fired on this eventually?
Well, that was really the development from Friday. Was one, Urban Meyer insisting in his statement that he planned on being back with the team as soon as possible. And then Zach Smith saying on multiple occasions that, you know, Gene Smith knew in 2015 that he believes he was told by the Powell Police Department about what happened. And Gene Smith calls him up and says, hey, you're on a recruiting trip, but we need you to take your first flight home now. I don't think that was any accident that the onus was and the focus was shift more onto Gene Smith starting Friday. So when you asked earlier, do you think, you know, Urban Meyer survives this? There's probably one of three outcomes. One is Urban Meyer doesn't survive it. One of them is Gene Smith doesn't survive it. The other is neither of them survive it. But I don't think you're going to come out of this on the other end with both of them coming out, Scott Kling. So if nothing else, it seems to me that Urban Meyer has no problem letting Gene Smith take the fall for this.
And that does seem to be, yeah, somebody's going to have to pay for this. His wife is in some trouble as well, right? She's a faculty member, a teacher there. I mean, they've got all these text messages of her having knowledge of what's going on. She's got some responsibilities that she had to follow as well, right? That's not as big. That's not going to make it on all the sports shows, but that's something that's going to happen as well, correct?
I would say she's a figure in this. That she's a key figure. And again, if Urban Meyer knew, it wouldn't just be because Shelly Meyer told him. Certainly as his wife and his biggest confidant, which he's been very public about, you would think that that would be brought up, especially given that the two of them were so closely intertwined with the Smiths 6 years before that in 2009. But there are now multiple accounts of Urban Meyer and Zach Smith having this conversation together. So it doesn't necessarily rely on Shelly Meyer for this story to advance. She's a key figure because this working group wants to know what she wants to know, just like they want to know what everybody knew or didn't know. But it doesn't necessarily revolve around her. Now, whether this means she loses her job at Ohio State or not, I don't know that I can dive into that as much because, again, there's the policy of responsible reporting on these types of things, but that's typically involving people who have a lot more oversight on other people. I don't know that that would necessarily extend to an instructor, especially when you're talking about someone who is not a student or an employee at the university, but she's key. It's tough to say.
What did you think? We're talking to Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. Good, bad, right, wrong. What impact did Zach Smith going on TV have on this?
I don't think he looks any better. I mean, he can try to shed some light on what happened and pull Gene Smith into this and try to, you know, clear his own name. But a couple of things stood out to me as being very odd. And you know, he keeps talking about how this was a personal matter between him and his wife and no one else really needed to know or be involved in that. There's a degree to which that is true, but not something like this, not where you're talking about very serious domestic abuse allegations, which, by the way, extend over the better part of a decade, are myriad in length and range from child allegations like who gets coverage of who to the really disturbing. You know, Courtney Smith is saying that he had cameras set up in her house and that he, you know, tried to sexually assault her one time in a laundry room. So, I mean, some of these are very serious and very strange. And to say that, well, no, this is just our business. Well, clearly it's not. And when you are an employee at a major university like this, at the football program, it's not private like everything else is. It's just not the way that it works. So if he tried to defend himself, I don't think he did a very good job. But that 2015 case is still open. He hasn't technically been charged with anything. He says he was not arrested for that incident. The police report, which, by the way, was changed. Originally, that 2015 report said that he had been arrested. That has since been changed. I think that's another developing storyline in this great web of a story. So he's going to have a chance to prove himself in the court of law, and technically he's innocent until proven guilty. I don't think he did that media tour on Friday coming out the other end looking any better, especially given that Brett McMurphy then published another tweet where it would appear, you know, just on face value, that he admitted to his wife in a text message exchange that he abused her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one where he says, "I know," is the thing. She says all these things, right, and then he just says, "I know." On the other end, I suppose, if you want to play devil's advocate, it's like, hey, listen, it's you know, the thing's blowing up, and he's just trying to calm the situation, just saying, "I know, I know, I know." There's always, you know, two sides to every story, but no, it absolutely does not look good. And the part that hasn't been talked about, I want to talk about where Ohio State goes from here after this, but then nobody's really talking about the fact that one of the things that Urban Meyer did say at Big Ten Media Day when he was trying to talk down the question that was being thrown at him was that the story in 2009, which was proven false.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Like, do we know that is correct, that you know, the allegations were proven false or no?
I don't think it's proven false. I think he just said it's not as it was reported, which, so this is tough. And I'm only going to give you a general overview on this type of thing because I don't know the specifics any more than you do. The only people who know what happened were Zach and Courtney Smith. I mean, those are the only people who will ever know the truth. But when you say, well, it wasn't as reported, just because someone isn't charged with a crime doesn't mean they didn't commit it. It means they weren't charged with it. Courtney Smith said she never went forward with charges because a couple of people from Meyer's inner circle, one of which was former Buckeyes coach Earl Bruce, who was Zach Smith's grandfather, told her not to press charges. Now, again, that's her side of the story. That doesn't mean it did or didn't happen. But one reason why sometimes victims don't come through with pressing charges is because they're intimidated not to do it. They're worried about doing it. She might be worried that he could lose his job. At that point, he was the breadwinner for their family. She was pregnant with their child. I mean, there can be a lot of reasons why things don't develop in domestic abuse cases. There are reasons why it takes a victim years to come forward with, you know, sharing this information with other people. So the only thing I'm going to say about what happened between Zach and Courtney Smith is there can be reasons why someone is not charged. There can be reasons why things in police reports aren't noted. So it's a very complex situation, and it's very similar to what other domestic abuse and gender violence cases have shown in the past. But that's why you just have to let the court of law do its thing, because at the end of the day, neither of us really know how it happened, and I highly doubt that Urban Meyer knows as much as he lets on.
Where does Ohio State go after this? One, if he's kept in place, is it just business as usual, or is Urban Meyer forever looking over his shoulder and the next shoe that drops will be the one that ultimately gets him out? Like, he's going to survive this because they don't want to pay $40 million, but, you know, 2 years from now they're going to find their next piece, and ultimately this, he's going to be fired, much like, in my opinion, Rick Pitino is fired for a litany of sins. This sin will be a big part of what ultimately brings him down at a far sooner date than anybody was expecting.
So Urban Meyer runs a tight ship, which all coaches are control freaks. Every last one of them are control freaks, which is why, on a personal level, I don't believe some of the things he says, and he's already changed his story once. But he's a control freak, and he's in this position because he's a control freak. And he's in this position because he has an ego, and every single coach has an ego. They all think they're the smartest person in the room, and that doesn't just stop at X's and O's. They think they are the smartest person in the room, and there is a hubris that it takes to go into, at Big Ten Media Days and lie and say you didn't know about something when you did know about something. Now, to what extent, we'll find out in time. But you knew, and you lied, and it takes some cojones to do that. If Urban Meyer comes out of this on the other end keeping his job, he's not going to be looking over his shoulder, because that same hubris will guide him forward. He's not going to be a changed person after 54 years because he didn't get punished for telling a lie at Big Ten Media Days. So if he's ever brought down, it's because, you know, he went forward with this thinking he was going to be fine. So Urban Meyer is not coming out of this a changed person.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If he goes, already the speculation, oh, Bob Stoops is an Ohio guy, you grab him, and maybe that would be a short-term guy to grab. Maybe he would take that job. I doubt it, based upon how he walked away. I don't see it. And then people immediately turn to Matt Campbell at Iowa State. The ripples will be felt across the college football landscape if the Ohio State job is open. Where do they turn, in your mind? Where should they? Where will they if they are looking for a coach?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on him. There's two reasons for that. One, Bob Stoops is playing the front nine with Steve Spurrier right now, with like a bucket of cold ones. He's not coming back. I talked to some former assistants of his, and I got like, how's Bob doing? They're like, man, he's loving this stuff. He's not coming back. So there's, you can put that one to bed. And also, given the whole Joe Mixon situation at Oklahoma, I don't think Ohio State really wants to go in that direction following everything that's happened. So Stoops is off the board. You mentioned Matt Campbell. I would start there. He got ties. He's obviously done great things at Iowa State. Really, his best years, I think, are still ahead of him. So I would certainly start there. But at the end of the day, you're Ohio State. You can more or less recruit whoever you want. You're not on NCAA probation, right? There's no, I mean, in all of this, we're not talking about breaking NCAA rules here. We're talking about a matter of ethics. And so this is still an appealing job if it comes open. There's no black stain on it that you're going to have to navigate around for the next 3 to 4 years just to try to stay competitive. So, and they were able to get Urban Meyer out of the whole tattoo gate deal. So they'll be just fine. But if you're asking me who would I want, I would probably want Matt Campbell.
We're talking right now to Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports about the Urban Meyer case. Time for our final four. Four quickies. It's brought to you by Mosquito Squad, KansasCity.MosquitoSquad.com, to protect your family, friends, and pets from the pests that bite. The people I use are Mosquito Squad. Go to KansasCity.MosquitoSquad.com or call 877-MO-SQUAD. I'll start you with this one, Ben. First thing that pops in your mind, looking at your Twitter photo, how many bow ties do you own?
How many bow ties do I owe? I only own that one, but I have several straight ties. I have a whole thing of regular ties.
Right. But just one. I'm just curious, when you wear a bow tie on your Twitter photo, I didn't know if that was your thing or not when it came to
ties. It's not my thing, but it was Kentucky Derby Day, so I had to.
Well done. Big 12, is it a league? I know you're a North Texas grad. Is the Big 12 a league in 10 years, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Is Mean Green a good nickname for a school?
Yeah, because it's different. Yeah. I mean, how many more Huskies and Wildcats do you?
Listen, you're talking to a guy who is an orange, okay? A freaking color or a fruit. So I love Mean Green. I'm glad to hear you say that. I like the unique
And it's not
ones.
Orangeman. It should be Orangeman, by the way. Like, I love the old Syracuse Orangeman thing. I know why they went orange, but I'm just saying, I loved the old Syracuse Orangeman nickname. I thought that was great.
I differentiate between us old guys and young guys by being Orangemen versus orange, and so I do wear that with pride. Thank you. And finally, give me your prediction on the college football playoff. Who beats who? We won't hold you to this. A lot of injuries and everything, but just right now, what's your gut tell you? Who beats who in the college football playoff championship game?
So who wins it all?
Yes. But and who do they beat?
I think you're going to get – I love what Clemson has coming back this year. I think they're going to be an absolute force. I think Clemson wins the whole thing. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Alabama-Clemson 4.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's the best new rivalry in college football.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. There's no doubt. And they are both loaded. That defensive line for Clemson is absolutely insane. I give you that. That's for sure. Ben, great stuff. Really enjoyed reading all your stories and coverage of this. Keep up the great work, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports talking about Urban Meyer. 14 days, I do think that's unique. We'll talk about that when we come back. What is the purpose of having a 14-day? Why are you putting it out there? We'll be done in 14 days, says to me. I kind of read it the same way Ben does, that this means that Urban Meyer is going to remain as the head coach. And last week, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Last week, every single thing while I was on vacation that I read or heard was that Urban Meyer was going to be out. I mean, immediately the firestorm was on who to replace him. But 14 days makes me step back and think that Ohio State thinks that we got a couple more I's and T's to dot and cross, and our guy's our guy. We'll talk about that next here in the program, 913-3810-810. We're live at TicketsForLess.com, where you can go see the debut Patrick Mahomes, starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, in Fat Cat Club-level seats for only $50, plus get a free VIP tailgate tent pass. Act like a big deal, even if you're not. And if you are a big deal, you can still do it. Save some money. Every club-level ticket for Thursday night's game's got a VIP pass. Online or over the phone, you don't need to add it to your order. It'll come with it automatically. It'll be sent to your order in the process. It's valid from now until 2 o'clock only. Chiefs and Texans in the club-level for only $50 a ticket. Get it right now at TicketsForLess.com.